This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 241 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Me? Fine. You?
Hot. Stinking hot.
Hot? Cold. Freezing cold.
This weather is just crazy.
We're in the same country, aren't we, dude? Just double checking. Are you in Australia at the moment? I'm in Australia.
You got to wonder.
It snowed over here the other day. What's the luck up your end?
Half the state's on fire.
See, we'll throw some of the rain up your way.
It is crazy. I actually was exchanging comments with one of our listeners who's based in Utah, I think it was, on Facebook today. And he said something or other about, you know, a 1,000-mile front of the on the bushfires outside Sydney, and I corrected him and said, no mate, it's only 100 kilometre, not 1,000 miles, you know. I think someone added
an extra
naught somewhere. But then I heard on the news tonight that the actual perimeter of the whole area that's on fire, like not the actual front of the fire, but the whole perimeter of the fire, is actually about 1,600 kilometres, which is actually 1,000 miles. So maybe he wasn't far off the mark with his original comment.
Yeah, just not no one particular fire that's...
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, so far we've got two fires that have joined up, and they're expecting a third one to join up with the first two, and... Yeah.
Well, that'll make it, apparently, it'll make it like a 180-mile long front. So that's pretty daunting in itself, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah. Mate, it's scary as. My best mate, Dave, whom I've mentioned on this podcast before. Dave and I record music
together. Not to me, you haven't.
No, not to you, but way back in the dim, dark past. Dave and I record music together. Dave's, in my opinion, a very talented singer-songwriter. He lives up at Hazelbrook, which is in the Blue Mountains, but thankfully not in the path of the fire, or at least not yet. But he's the manager of the Westpac branch at Springwood, and Springwood has been one of the areas, you know, most ravaged by this blaze at the moment. And I was talking to him on the phone last night, and the stories he was telling me were just mind-boggling. You know, he was telling me of one customer who had done a kitchen reno, had put in Italian marble bench tops. The fire went through, completely destroyed the house. And when they went through, you know, what little rubble was there, there was no trace of the marble. The marble stone had completely burned up.
Or someone came in and nicked it. Oh, there's a nice marble top. I'll take that.
Someone who was immune to 5,000-degree heat walked in and...
It could be one of the firemen, you know. It might have been like within 10 minutes or so, you know. He hosed it down, put it in the back of the truck.
Yeah, actually, don't joke about that, because there was a comment on Facebook today that apparently up at Katoomba, there was a guy dressed in, you know, firefighting gear who was going around to people's houses telling them to evacuate, and he was then knocking off their houses.
The whole house?
Well, what he could get, apparently.
Oh, so I see what you're saying. There are some mongrels in this world, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, dear. So how's your week been, my friend? Have you been? I'm assuming with all this bushfire action, the sunsets have been astounding. So driving to and from work with your camera in hand, you would have got some great sunset shots.
You would have thought.
You would have thought, wouldn't you?
I've actually got a note beside me saying, take my camera tomorrow. So,
What's the sunsets been like?
Not that great, to be honest. You would have thought they would have been more spectacular, like, you know, with the amount of smoke that's in the air.
Yeah.
One or two of them have been okay, but a few days just been,
So, Mike Holman, who was here last week visiting, he showed me a photograph from New Zealand, one of his friends, landscape photographers, photographing the full moon rising. It was blood red because of the smoke in Australia. So,
wow.
Sustaining all the way across to New Zealand.
That would have to be a sunset shot, surely, not a sunrise shot.
No, sunset. Because moon, did I say moonrise? It was full moon rising.
Oh, sorry, moon. Yeah, sorry. Moon, I think you did say the moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Wow.
I thought I wasn't the moron in that conversation.
Sure. So speaking of Mike, did you guys have a great weekend at the casting call?
We had a marvelous weekend. We hung out. We cracked some jokes. He saw a wombat. It was the goal of the trip, was to see a wombat.
Nice.
We had said, you've got this horrible hot weather where you are. The day before we went up to the casting hall location, it was snowing.
Seriously?
It is 3,000 feet up.
I was going to say, what altitude? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's got a little bit of altitude. But we had beautiful weather every day. The only downside was we had a full moon each night, so it sort of put out the concept of doing star trails star shots at night. But we had a lot of fun. Yeah, we had a lot of laughs. We took some photos. We worked ourselves. Me and Mike have made the decision that any events we run in the future, we will also hold on full moon weekends. Because right. The last casting call we shot on the Friday night when everyone arrives about 7:30, we shot from about 9 o'clock till about 1 o'clock.
Right.
We got up at 5 in the morning to go for sunrise. And we shot till 2 o'clock Sunday morning.
Whoa.
Then we got up at 5 o'clock for sunrise and shot till 4 when it finished.
Wow.
This time, because of the full moon, in bed by 10 both nights. Bloody marvellous. So we'll do that again.
Yeah, right.
Hang the photographs. Get a good night's sleep.
I did see one image that you posted, obviously, from the Sunday. You said, some clouds rolled in, so we were able to get some drama in the skies. And wide-angle shot of a girl in a purple dress.
Yeah, it was 30 minutes before the end of the event, we finally got some clouds. It was like blue. There wasn't a hint of at sunrise or sunset. There wasn't a hint of cloud. It's not even a poofteenth of pink.
Hate that.
In either day. But, of course, this happened the last casting call as we were driving off the set and driving away. We looked back and there was this little shack, this fake little log cabin next to this beautiful old dead tree. Yeah. There's massive clouds behind it and a rainbow over it.
No.
I was like, too tired to go back because we've been shooting until 2 o'clock in the 2 o'clock in the morning. And this time, same again, just before closing time, the clouds started to come in and get some cool effects rather than just blazing hot blue sky every day. But, we saw a snake, got some kangaroos, a wombat.
What's all around snake? Event.
A small one.
Okay.
That's a little tiger.
Nothing life-threatening.
Oh, it is, but just, small tigers aren't that deadly. It's all relative. It takes like 2 days to die from a tiger snake, so it's hardly deadly at all.
Right.
Really. Yeah, when I get bitten by those when I'm out fishing, it's just like, I can keep fishing for the rest of the day and get fixed up tonight. Because it takes like 2 days to die.
Right.
Forever. Yeah.
Right.
So I've been bitten 3 times by them.
Right.
Okay. And twice by red-bellied blacks. They're hardly poisonous at all. They take like a week to kill you. Nothing.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Okay, so photographically, what have we got to chat about?
Well, I'm 2 hours into my 14-hour extravaganza of David Duchemin.
Yeah.
And, it's fantastic. I've managed to use it as a sleep aid. No, it's just plain cruel. No, it's fantastic. I'll just say, in the first hour, I've just written down at least a page. It's in an iPad mini page.
Careful, mate, your bogan is showing.
Yeah, my bogan. Yeah, be white trash. So one quote I did love was, someone said, the best way to make money as a photographer is to sell your gear.
Nice.
Well, not necessarily the best, but certainly the quickest. But he basically said there's five voices in the world of photography.
Okay.
That's in your circle. You've got the critic.
Right.
The mentor.
Yeah.
The sycophant.
Right.
The friend.
Yeah.
And your own voice.
Yep.
The hardest part, other than your own voice, is to know which is which.
Yeah.
And which one you give the most, which one you give weight to as far as helping you along in your journey.
Right.
So I thought that's figured. I mean, the sycophant's obviously Facebook. That's just a general. Oh, amazing skills. You're the best photographer in the world. Yeah. But,
yeah.
Yeah, but to grow your vision, look for someone to be a mentor, and then look for a different person again to be a critic. Yeah, not necessarily the same person. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's your mum. She's always one who says, "Oh, you're amazing too." Yeah, you got to have your mum in there somewhere. So that was kind of a cool way of succincting, kind of what you're faced with as sharing your work effectively.
Interesting.
So once again, a kind of a cool little thing. And another great quote was, "Photography is too important to take seriously."
Nice.
and he's the thing. He's like most photographers. They're against rules in photography. You know, know the rules, but then know when to break them, sort of thing. You know?
Sure. Yep.
But he's a big thing for constraints.
Okay.
Putting constraints on your photography, which I thought was interesting. So, we did
like going out and forcing yourself to shoot with one lens for a day.
Exactly. Yeah. And removing your choices.
Yep.
Helps channel your vision. Yeah. If you're stuck with, say a 50 mil lens, and that's what you have to shoot with, you have to find a way of creating with that the story you're trying to tell that you may have, got a little bit lost with if you had multiple lens choices and you're jumping between gear to gear to gear and so on. So,
yep.
So I thought that was kind of interesting too. We did this on the weekend. We did a 30-minute 50 mil challenge, and we forced people to go out and shoot with a 50 mil challenge.
Yep.
And I know what I've done in the past as well is force people from where they are, they've got to stop. And within five paces of where they've stopped, they've got to be able to walk and shoot five creative, interesting images.
Ooh, okay.
That's a challenge. You could be just, it's almost like when you're playing with kids, it's stop, go. But someone tells you to stop and bang, within that point of frame and reference, you've got to find ways to create interesting, challenging images.
Yeah, right.
Which, but there's no time limit on it, so you don't have to hurry and do it.
Right. Yep,
because if you try and hurry it, then sometimes if you take your time and just sit and think rather than shoot, you might find stuff comes to you as well. So
yep.
So maybe it's a challenge we could set our listeners.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, just like I do. Be walking down the street and maybe at 2 o'clock, something like they've got to stop and shoot.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. What else?
Well, through the week.
I'll go through a few more quotes first, if that's all right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go for it.
So we make, not take, as an example. So we make photographs. We don't take photographs, which I thought was an interesting variation.
Mm-hmm.
Creation is hard. Yeah, it's called artwork, not art effing around. And it's easy to make crap.
But crap is the
steps you've got to take towards your vision.
Yeah.
Yep. You've got to take the bad images to work your way towards the good stuff,
Yep.
And I love this one. He was quoting a client. "Oh my God, the sharpness. Oh wow, the color is so accurate." Said no one ever.
Right. Yeah. Ah,
that's we photographers are just so into bloody the technical stuff. As opposed to that, which led to probably the most profound of the things I've got out of it so far, is the world doesn't need sharper photographs; it needs deeper ones.
Yeah, nice.
And that's true. Yeah, it doesn't have to be critically sharp, tack sharp.
Yeah,
and I can't remember. So I heard some photographer the other day say, I can't remember who it was. So every time I hear the word tack sharp, part of my soul dies. We don't need tack sharp images. We need deep, confronting, interesting, challenging images.
Yeah.
You know? And then he came with an interesting take on Robert Carper's philosophy: if your images aren't good enough, you're not close enough.
Yes. Yep.
Which is something I've always, I've tried to always keep the elements as few as possible in my photographs.
Right. Yeah, yep.
Keep the story strong.
Yep.
But his take was, it's not so much your closeness to the subject, but your closest of your knowledge of what you're shooting.
Oh, okay.
So you're going to, like, I'm going to Diwali festival next weekend,
Yep.
right? So my knowledge and understanding of what that festival is about, the more I can understand, the more I can learn about it, well, obviously, the better I can shoot it because it makes I understand more what's going on. So that was a very interesting take on Robert Capa's philosophy. You know, the more we understand about what we're trying to shoot, the more we get into it, then maybe the more we get out of it.
Yeah. I guess the more you understand something, the more you will hone in on the more on the relevant parts of the subject matter.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe, and also, I guess your preparedness for what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
If you have
Yep.
no you have no clue what's going on, and how do you prepare for it? But if you have some, like at a wedding, you know at some point the groom's going to kiss the bride,
Yeah.
so you're preparing for it. If you have no understanding of what's happening during the ceremony, you wouldn't be
You'd
prepared for that,
miss the moment, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you'd be very lucky to get it,
Yep.
So that I thought that was a very interesting take on that. So I really think everyone should go download this series. It's could be $80 well spent.
That reminds me of a time a long, 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 long time ago. I was down in Hobart. This would have been 90 or 91, and Dire Straits were touring with the On Every Street album.
God, that is good.
And
I saw him in the 80s.
did you really?
I saw them for the Love Over Gold tour.
Oh, wow. That would have been cool.
It was.
And the thing about
We digress.
the yes, the tour supporting On Every Street was called On Every Night. It was the On Every Night tour. And I saw them at the Derwent Entertainment Centre in Hobart. And the first night I was there, and I had my actually, no, I don't think I had my camera with me. I think I knew I was going for 2 nights, and so I decided the first night I'd go without a camera and I'd just absorb it all. No, I did have my camera, and what happened was the,
What a
at the beginning of the
raconteur.
show, hey?
So he's such a raconteur. His stories are so captivating.
At the beginning of the show, there's this screen, like a cloth curtain over the front of the stage, but the band was playing behind it, and it was the song "Calling Elvis," which was like the big hit off that album, and it was a very stripped back version of the percussion leading into the song, and it just kind of built and built and built. And then all of a sudden, like the whole band hits the, this first note of the song. And as they did that, this curtain gets yanked upwards into the ceiling, and the full lights came on stage and whatever. And so it just sort of went from black and this very subdued musical, almost interlude thing to bam, full lights, full sound, everything hitting you at once. And of course, I missed that on the first night
Of course.
because I wasn't ready for it, But when I was there on the second night, I was like so ready for that moment, and I caught the shot of the curtain halfway up.
Cool.
So it just,
Did it look any good? Or was
yeah, it
it just
did.
a
Yeah, it
curtain
did.
halfway up?
Yeah, it did
Or was it a curtain halfway down? If you
actually.
just showed me the photo, would I know the difference?
I don't
Glass
know.
half empty, glass half full. I
Yeah,
mean,
well.
not trying to be negative here, but it's probably shot on negatives, wasn't it? Speaking of that.
You know what? It was shot on slide.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're being very transparent, aren't you?
Boom, boom. So yeah, but that your comment about knowing your subject matter, being close to your subject.
And the better you can be. So
Yeah.
I'm desperately trying to get to know more about what's happening in India so I can at least have some clue.
There's this
And
great website called Wikipedia.
what?
Spend the
No, I've
week
been through that,
on
but it's not in depth enough.
that. Oh,
Because
okay.
the problem is it doesn't that'll tell you the cold clinical fact of what's happening, but it doesn't
Yeah,
tell you
right.
the human emotional side of what happens.
Right.
Doesn't tell you about what do people feel? Why are people invested in this emotionally? Why are they what is it that draws them to this particular festival? How
Right.
does it make them feel? You can't learn that. You've got to live it. You know what I mean? So that's my thing is I'm going with a fair understanding of because each religion over there celebrates this for slightly different reasons.
Right. Are you friends with Rakesh on Facebook?
I do know Rakesh very well, yes.
We should have a yarn with him.
I was going to go to his wedding.
You were meant to?
I was going, yeah, but I was working.
Right.
Very disappointed because it was a full-on Bollywood wedding. It would have been awesome to be there. G'day, Rakesh.
We should have a yarn with him on Facebook before you disappear.
Yeah.
Because he'll at least clue you in on the Diwali festival.
Yeah. He's a good, he lives in Singapore these days.
He does these days.
Lovely.
We were meant to catch up on our return leg from Borneo, and the day before he sends me a text and goes, "Man, I'm so sorry. My boss has just told me that I'm flying to Indonesia in the morning for a business meeting. I won't be able to catch up." And we'd been planning this for like 6 months before.
That's always the way, isn't it? Exactly. I've still got the invite to his wedding. It was that beautiful. I've hung on to it.
Wow.
This is like, I don't know, four years ago, I think, So, see Rakesh, that's how much you meant. So if you ever get married again.
No. Next time you get married, remember to invite Glenn again.
on your next wife. So a couple of more things.
Yeah.
A couple of more things from these videos. So photo competitions, there are no winners. There are no rules. It's not a game. It's art. If you win a photo competition, it's like winning at yoga.
Nice.
I kind of liked, And so that was pretty good. That was kind of interesting. And how do you make more interesting photographs? Become a more interesting person.
Nice.
Which is fairly apt. I mean, that's the thing. I guess the more you learn, the more you do, the more you... Yeah, you gain information about things, then I guess your photographs should get better because you understand more about what you're doing, and maybe to the people who are interested in the same sort of things, you would become a more interesting person.
Yeah.
Or you become a train spotter. One of the two. Now, speaking of photo competitions, I met up with Nathan Oxley today, who of the LED Like You.
Yeah.
We went for lunch, and so he does the... He's the creative director, something like that, for the Loop Photography Awards. He's a competition director. That's what he is.
Right,
competition director. He runs all sorts of. He runs the APA competitions, the state competitions, the APPI one, AIPP, same thing. yeah, the acronyms are US Photography Awards. He runs them all, so that was interesting. Learning about how they build the infrastructure, the IT infrastructure around those judging and photo competitions. It's quite an involved process. You were saying on
do they use a random number generator to pick the winner?
You were saying the system they built for the AIPP, the Australian Institute of Professional Photoshoppers, has 1.5 million lines of code.
Wow.
Which is, that's a lot, I think. Not that I'd know because I don't know much about
code. Just about rewrite Photoshop with that, couldn't you?
No idea, but it sounded a lot when he said it. I made suitably impressed noises, assuming to make it feel like 18 knew what I was talking about. Then, that's a lot of code. Oh, yeah, that's a lot of code. It could, I don't know, is it? Is it like the same thing repeat? Is it one line repeated 1.5 million times? It's really dull. Is it like half? I don't know. It sounds impressive.
Yeah.
So that was. I learned a bit about how those things are judged today, which was kind of interesting. And I saw the final, the almost final design for the LED light cube as well.
Yeah, right.
And very sweet looking piece of kit.
Like you actually held a prototype?
No, yeah, he just showed me that. Yeah, he was going to bring them down, but they just disassembled them to tweak stuff again. But he showed me a CAD design, 3D mock-up, and very short.
Yeah, right.
Very, and look, I'll get my hands on one of those, or a couple of those, fairly soon.
Cool.
And we'll have a bit of a play and see what comes out of it.
Excellent.
So that was my stuff anyway from what's his name, David Duchemin.
Yeah.
I'm just reading what I wrote here in a sec.
Mm-hmm.
If it's your only choice, you'll start asking more interesting questions. There we go. The next time you struggle creatively, impose constraints. There, that's the sort of finish to his constraint thing. basically ask more interesting questions about what you're shooting. Here's the thing. When I was in Pennsylvania, I did a shoot. I made these people do a photograph of this little rusty, crusty piece of gear turbine thing we found in the street. And I made everyone go up and take a photograph, but they had to be able to come and tell me why they put the things they did where they did in the photograph, why they included the elements they included, why they left out the elements. So they had to really think about the shot. And it was just astounding how difficult it was for people.
Right.
So we did it again this weekend and said,
difficult for them to explain why.
Yeah, because people don't think when they shoot, they just shoot.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, not enough people sit there and really. Yeah, as I say, I like to think of it. If I was a painter having to paint the scene, I would be fairly careful in how I composed it because of the time involved in making the piece of art.
Sure.
Therefore, I try and be careful when I compose photographically because, whilst it doesn't take anywhere near as long, it's going to be around a long time. I'm going to have that image for a long time, but if I compose it badly, it's going to be a bad shot. So I think a lot about my shots, certainly in respect to elements, how many elements I can leave out, placement of elements, and then what kind of distracting elements can I eliminate to make this image stronger. So I'm always thinking about every shot, but it's amazing how few people do. They'll shoot emotionally, but not intellectually.
Yeah, right.
And it's a big difference.
Wow.
Yeah, I think you need both. You need a mix of both in those. But I think you've got to engage, disengage, re-engage, get excited,
yep.
Stop and analyze, eliminate the crap, re-engage, excited, and get the shot.
Yeah, right.
And if you don't do that disengage, I find your photos are weaker for it.
Right.
But that's just me. You know?
Okay.
It's just one of my viewpoints of the world as opposed to his. So
yeah.
But I think that disengage is really important.
Sorry if I sound distracted. It's because Adam Davidson just sent a message to me on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
In response to, the post I just put up saying, hey, we're just recording at 2:41, got a question, fire away. And he said, what happened to 2:40? The latest one on the website's 2:39. And I've just gone to the website and found that last week's episode, even though it was scheduled to release on Sunday, it didn't post for some reason.
Didn't go.
So it's up there now. So
so if you're listening, you can listen again.
Yeah. So yeah. Apologies. Careful.
Too much of a bad thing could be
extra bad. So apologies for EP 240, people. I don't know why it didn't publish.
That was a cracker of an episode too, from memory. Corker. I can remember it.
Absolute corker.
It did an extra. We had somebody else to talk to at least, so it made it more interesting.
50% extra hosts.
Oh, that Mike Holman's just far too nice for our own good, though, I tell you.
He's a top guy.
And he just won a bunch of extra awards when he got back to New Zealand.
Yes, I saw the Auckland Photographer of the Year award photo. Yeah,
but
he'd
already won that one, but he won a whole bunch of other stuff. His wife is fluffing his pillows on Facebook again about the stuff he'd won,
Okay.
She was fluffing away. And Viv, she's lovely. Yeah, but,
she is.
But it's my internet's just gone to pieces tonight, so I can't pull it up and tell you about it. But he's won a few more, so.
Good on him. Well done, Mike.
Yeah. It's like winning at yoga, Mike. Yeah, I'm personally more into punk yoga. As I said, I like to stand in other people's heads. Much more fun. So I hear you got a bit hot and heavy about another Sony product this week.
Well, not that be rushing out to buy it, but it did pique my interest. It's the RX10, which Sony have just released. Now, this is what we've in the past referred to as a prosumer camera, and some people refer to it as a bridge camera. It's sort of a bit bigger than your rangefinder style, like your A7 and A7R, which had just been announced, and it doesn't have the interchangeable lens characteristics of a full DSLR, but the body shape is like a DSLR, but with one lens that's, built in and can't be swapped out. What really intrigued me about this camera was the corker of a lens that's built into it. This thing is 24 to 200 Carl Zeiss, and it's f2.8 across the entire range.
Corker, indeed.
That is a corker of a lens.
24. That's a hell of a travel kit, isn't it?
It would be a great travel camera. I mean, that, you know, 9x optical zoom and 2.8 across the range.
Yeah.
And a 20 megapixel sensor.
CMOS sensor.
So I think it's APS-C. It's not 35mm.
But the it's the 1-inch sensor.
So that'd be
same
APS-C.
Sensor as their as their lens that hooks onto the iPhone,
right?
Which is just
that'd be about APS-C in size.
Yeah, give or take. Yeah.
So yeah, I just thought that was interesting.
It's basically replacing the old Sony R1, which came out in 2005, which I happen to own.
So that's 8 years old. One.
Yeah. And that's classed as a near legendary, that particular camera.
Yeah, right.
For its once again, its Carl Zeiss T-Star lens was just incredibly sharp, and it was probably it's probably 5 or 6 years ahead of its time.
Was it tack sharp, mate? Was it tack sharp?
Oh, mate, it was tackier. It was really tacky. It was seriously tacky.
Nice.
Yeah. It was one of the first bridge or slash compact cameras that had a large sensor.
Right.
Yeah, it was an APS-C size CMOS sensor. It was only like 10 odd megapixel, but it was still, it was an incredibly good lens. So I don't tend to pull mine out very often, but it's still here and still works fine. And it's got a tiny little screen, which, of course, is probably the biggest difference. The camera is still perfectly viable now, but you see this tiny screen, it just looks weird.
Yeah, right.
Compared to what modern camera. And the other thing is that the screen was built into on top of the camera, like normally where the hot shoe would go.
Oh, really?
And it was a swivel screen that sort of popped out and swiveled above the viewfinder, which was kind of unusual, you'd have to say.
Yeah, right.
So it had its own quirky foibles, as a lot of the early digital stuff did.
Yeah, right.
But incredibly incredibly good quality. I'm looking forward to going to DP Review and checking out this RX10's photographs of stamps and liquor bottles, and just see just how good the stamps hold up.
Right.
Because next time I'm out shooting stamps, that could be the camera for me. Stamps at 60 times magnification, of course.
Of course.
That could be the camera for me.
Excellent.
But yeah, that is. But yeah, I'm going from the sublime to the ridiculous.
Mm.
See, Lomo's announced an experimental lens kit for Micro Four Thirds cameras.
Okay.
Yeah, they've come out with a 24mm lens, a 12mm lens, and a fisheye lens. Plastic lenses that basically click onto the front of your Micro Four Thirds.
Okay.
And they've got their own built-in shutter, which is kind of unusual.
Right.
So they're in built-in shutter with a fixed shutter speed of 1/100 of a second.
Right.
Yeah, so who knows? Yeah, it's going to be they're all F8 to this. So they're fixed F8, and two shutter speeds. They've got 100 and bulb.
Right.
But, that's all part of the, I said photography is far too serious, far too important to take serious.
Yes.
They've taken that to the nth level.
Yeah. But if this thing attaches to the front of your four-thirds
camera.
I
know where you're going. Why has it got a shutter?
Yeah.
I know where you're coming from. I don't understand. I've got a cheap plastic Diana lens for my Canon EOS.
Two shutters are better than one.
Yeah, I've got this Diana lens for my EOS, which is kind of the same thing as a Lomo. It's this old crappy plastic thing that goes in this. You've got your $3,000 body with your $20 plastic lens in the front. It's kind of fun to use. Speaking of new cameras,
You could buy a Lightroom Action that would achieve exactly the same effect.
Oh, yeah, but it's fun to see it. I'm a photographer, not a Lightroomer. I picked up a 6D on Thursday because I killed my 5D Mark II whilst I was away. So
you did not?
I did. Oh, you know me. Yeah.
What did you do to it?
This is the weird thing. I didn't do anything that I know of. I dropped the other camera on the ground, smashed my camera and my 70-200 on the cement in New York. Fell off the strap again.
Oh, Jesus.
So that made a bit awful clunk. And so the camera seems to be okay, but the lens seems to have a strange little chitter in it on image stabilize now. Canon, just my 5D, just decided first it wouldn't recognize the lens, which is not dirty contacts. It's not the unusual, unheard of thing.
Right.
So I took the lens off, gave it a bit of a scrub, put it back on again. Then it wouldn't recognize the battery anymore. Between not recognizing the battery and not recognizing the lens, there's not an awful lot of it that was working.
Yeah. Right.
So, so I thought, well, I'm glad it happened now rather than before I go to India. So, yeah. Makes it so I picked up a 6D to play with. So
how does the 6D compare?
Oh, yeah, the buttons are in different spots, Bruce.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. It's very confusing.
Sorry, I shouldn't ask technical questions. I'll learn.
I did a soul searching between the Mark III and the 6D. Yeah, now the 6D is like $1,200 cheaper.
Right.
Yeah, now I buy in Australia. Yeah, this is the few things I buy in photographic gear is cameras. I'm not sponsored by anyone for cameras. That's my own hard earned to buy gear.
Yep.
So I can certainly buy it cheaper overseas, but I choose to support the Australian industry and buy it here.
Yep.
Because knowing it'll be better for our country in the long run. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just put my little knife into people's stomach and twist. So I had an arm and arm between the Mark III and the 6D, but the 6D is GPS versus no GPS.
Oh, okay.
Mark III, it's Wi-Fi enabled versus non-Wi-Fi enabled.
Right.
It's better in low light versus not as good in low light. The only downsides that I can see is it's got a max shutter speed of 1/4000th of a second instead of 1/8000th.
Yeah, right.
Whoopty. I shoot a lot of stuff at 8,000, so that was going to be soon. It only takes SD cards as opposed to, the Mark III has a compact flash and SD at the same time, so you can sort of automatic backup, which would be nice. I've got to admit, that's probably the one thing that I'll sort of miss, not having that ability to back up straight away.
Was that a feature that you did use on your 5D?
No, it wasn't in the old model, but it was something that appealed to me.
Right.
I've just picked up 200 gig worth of memory cards while I was in the US, so I'm okay.
Right.
That's not a major drama, I guess. So it's got a lot of advantages and not an awful lot of disadvantages that I can see, and slightly smaller and slightly lighter, which is not a bad thing either.
Yeah.
So I haven't really put it to too much of a test. I did some shots with it on the weekend over the casting call weekend,
mm-hmm.
and it seems to function. It's quieter. Notice that was probably the biggest thing I noticed. It's quite a bit quieter, and it's even got a silent mode. So in the non-silent mode, it's already quiet.
Yeah, right.
It's got a built-in HDR function, which I tried out just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
And, it's very subtle.
Okay, nice.
Very well done, with no noticeable artifacts, no noticeable garishness.
Cool.
So of course I had to delete them because I want the garish. My photos tend to be a bit over the top, so these photos look a bit wishy-washy.
What's this rubbish? There's no haloing anywhere.
that's the difference between the Mark III and the 6D is if you shoot HDR in the Mark III, you get to keep your original files as well as the processed file.
Oh, right.
Whereas the 6D, you don't.
Oh, okay. It just replaces it.
Once again, neither here nor there, so it's not something I'm going to be doing an awful lot of anyway.
I suppose it's one of those things, if you wanted to, you could shoot the HDR using the HDR function in the camera, but then go into manual mode and shoot your bracketed set for later processing.
Well, see, if the built-in's not really cutting the mustard.
Yeah, if you really wanted to.
Or haloing, and it's not going to... If it's not really pulling out enough out of the shadows or the highlights, then you can go back and... do a five-stop bracket or something, exactly. So it looks like a pretty sweet piece of kit, so I'm rather pleased with it so far.
Cool.
So I'll be putting that through its paces fairly extensively on 17-hour shooting days in India. So
excellent.
But that was there, so I'm happy with that. And I had a little play around with my mate Dave Oakley's Sigma 120 to 300 2.8, fixed 2.8 all the way through the range.
Yep.
And that's one behemoth of... the lens. I'm far too weak and feeble to hold that thing for any length of time. Right.
That would be an awesome, safari lens.
Oh, yeah, just brilliant. Yeah, and yeah, just anything where you want some reach, but it'll be able to pull back pretty quickly should you need to.
Yeah.
Stunning. But I said, you really, yeah, you want to have some sort of decent support all the time with it.
Yeah, so,
right.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, that's pretty much my week. I did come across a very bizarre thing in Italy this week.
Okay.
And in Norway, funnily enough. These two towns, one in Italy, one in Norway, live in this very dark valley, very deep valley, which doesn't get a lot of sunlight.
Okay.
So both towns up on the hills have put these massive mirrors up on them to reflect sunlight back down into the town.
Wow.
And then, you know what it's like when you walk through the city in the afternoon, you get that beautiful reflective light. I walk around these two towns and shoot, because imagine the quality of light.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
It's this beautiful, yeah. So I saw a couple of photos of downtown and this gorgeous shadows and colour and texture, tone of light. It'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a bizarre thing to live in this town, which is mostly dark, except this big spot of light in the middle of the town. The challenges people have. The towns have probably been there for hundreds of years. I wonder what made them start complaining now.
Yeah.
But wow. That was another little oddity I came across during the week.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, that's about my week, young man. I'm just rapidly trying to get my images processed from the US.
Before you fly out again.
Yeah, got the models and everything happy over there in the US for, yeah. Did I tell you about the 17-year-old girl I shot? I'm not sure I mentioned
it
last
week. You did mention it last week. You said she had the most amazingly symmetrical face you'd ever
seen. Yeah, so I've been processing some more photos of her. It's like, yeah, wow, yes, this kid is special.
Yeah,
she's
right.
Special. So I might have to go back just to shoot her. shoot her some more.
Cool. Yeah,
just for that. So it looks like I'm going back to the US in the first week of January too again.
Right.
Make the missus very happy. I got a call this week. So I'm second vice president of the DIMA board, the Digital Imaging Marketing Association board, which is part of PMA.
Right.
Well, Mr. First Vice President, who should be going up to become vice president this year, has decided, I don't want to do it.
Right.
So I was hoping not to have to go to CES this year, as being elevated to Mr. President. So I've got to go.
Right.
Which is, yeah. Not really what I wanted to do. I didn't really want to go to the US again, but no, not so soon. You know?
Yeah,
so I'm back there again in May. So it's like,
oh wow!
And I just got invited to go to the photography show in London in March too. So it'll be
wow. You are getting around.
And of course, we've got me and Mike have got our Mia want to shoot a lot of week in Queenstown, New Zealand in April. So it's gonna my wife and kids are gonna hate me. hate. So that's what I've all been doing this week, just running around organising all that sort of stuff. So
wow.
Get that sorted, get the photos done, start thinking about at least working some sort of itinerary for India and get going.
Good thing you got your new passport.
get the stamps.
It's going to get a workout.
Well, yeah. It's kind of good because when you've got a new passport, when you're going to America, if they see all the other American stamps, if you go there on a regular basis, they kind of look at you a little bit more suspiciously. You know, the new one's like, oh, he's never been anywhere. Which is kind of good.
Cool.
So well, I'm going to set you a challenge this week, Bruce.
Right.
Just a Bruce Williams only challenge.
Okay.
Take a bloody sunset photo, Bruce.
Well, like I said, I will definitely take a camera with me tomorrow.
I want to see you at least. I don't care how crap the sunset is. Either.
Right.
We won't be judging you on quality, just the quantity. One.
Right. Excellent.
That's all we want. We want to see a image.
Okay. Not a problem.
Pressure's on.
So when do you fly out to India?
Oh, not till Saturday week. Saturday night. Yeah, so we got next week.
Oh, okay. So we got next week. Cool.
Yeah, we got next week.
Excellent.
I'll do a workshop, go straight to the airport and fly out.
Jeez.
You know me,
man.
It's pretty good though, because I fly home at midnight, and I was supposed to have a workshop on the next day, but I've kind of pushed it off a week, because I thought it was pretty good of me. Just to give myself a day off.
Excellent.
Bad.
All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
I will, and you look after yourself in all that hot weather up there, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm very thankful that you know there are no fires around. This part of the world where I actually live, At least not yet, because I'm worried about what happens on the day when, you know, we get fires in this area and the freeway is full of smoke. You know, it's one thing to be in a car where you've got air conditioning.
But yeah.
When you're on a bike and you're breathing everything that's outside without any filtering, that could get quite nasty.
Yeah, so, and visibility too, of course.
Yeah.
You just look after yourself, you know. You're the brains behind this operation, you realize. I know it's kind of sad when you think of it that way.
But yeah,
it's all relative.
Well, in the event of my demise, you're welcome to the name.
Bruce Williams. I don't want to be called Bruce Williams.
Boom.
There's only one Glenn Lavender in the world.
Fair enough.
Lots of Bruce Williams.
Okay.
So thank you. I'll use it as my porn name. How's that?
Excellent. Okay, all right, mate. Yeah. Have a good week. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Bill.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email the boys at shuttersincpodcast.com.